today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
Who told you you don't need to go to church because God knows your heart? If you follow Jesus' tracking, if you follow what he did, and we should be following Jesus, not what everybody else says or what modern technology says or what modern people say or what young people are saying, you better follow Jesus. And that's why it's important to get the word in you. The Bible says he entered into. He didn't hang out in the foyer. He didn't hang out on the outside. He wasn't smoking a cigarette before he came into the church.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Conflict, Commissioning, and Covenant. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5.
Out of the book of Mark, chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 5. And the word of the Lord reads like this: And he entered again into the synagogue. And there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he said unto him, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? Look at this, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, you mean God looked with anger? In the church service? Yeah. Being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Can you say amen to the reading of the word? And his hand was restored whole as the other. He stretched it out in the presence of the Lord, and his hand was made whole as the other. If he kept it hidden, it never would have been made whole as the other. The one who's ashamed to stretch it out would never be made whole. I need to share with you, because I need to cover chapter 3. This morning we dealt with a portion of his election, governance, and purpose. But today, in our late service, I need to share with you from this thought, conflict, commissioning, and covenant. Conflict, commissioning, and covenant. Father, I give you praise for chapter 3 of Mark. I give you glory and praise for Marcus. Thank you for John Mark. Thank you for Mark, all three in one, and for a balanced approach. As he writes, he takes us to you, Lord. He doesn't put himself in the text. He takes us to you. And I pray that as we run back to you, as we crawl back to you, as we worship our way back to you, as we sing our song in a strange land to come back to you, as we serve our way back, as we take the trail, hallelujah, of righteousness to get back, I pray, Father, that you will also run back to us. I pray that every word that I share today in the late service would weigh 10 pounds. Let your kabod and your glory rest upon each of us. Have your way in this place. We get the growth, and you get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's salute the Lord with a hand clap. Everybody. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. It is my honor to pastor you, and I see people coming into the sanctuary. Maybe they got up and drove in while I was praying, but I see the seats coming in now. Thank you. And if you're listening to me on your phone, get into the sanctuary. If you're in the parking lot, you need to be in the room. So come on in the room. I think they used to sing that song. Come on in the room. Come on in the room. And I know some of you don't think that I know the older songs, but I do. And I'm grateful. Pastor Sabrina is more of an expert. She knows that she has a real good memory. And she, for years, she led worship. And she knows how to do that. And I'm excited about it. But sometimes I can hear the old song, come on in the room. And I just didn't understand why we still sing that when we're young people in the service. But I don't have a problem with the old songs. Sometimes it's appropriate. And right now, it's a come on in the room message. But those that are outside of the room, you need to get into the presence of God and come in. I like the word sanctuary, into the sanctuary. You'll see it here in Mark chapter 3, the synagogue. You need to come into the sanctuary. And in Capernaum, we believe the garrison, the military garrison, Roman garrison, helped to construct synagogues in Capernaum. In America, we have churches almost on every corner. There's no reason why, because we have more people in America than Israel has in Palestine or in its borders. Yet people are walking away from church. They're really lackadaisical about, why do I need that? People are listening to so many different voices on social media. They don't need to hear a distinct voice from their pastor. And it's a very trying time. If I had to start a church right now without any resources, it would be very hard to do so because people are skeptical. And some pastors and leaders, just to get people to come in, are compromising truth for it. They're preaching self-helps. And when you start talking about making more money and prospering and self-helps, a lot of people are gravitating to that. But what did you find at Truth Reveal? Somebody said, I found truth. I'm glad you did. Because we're going to lay it down thick, like thick peanut butter. Yeah. I'm laying it thick on you today. We're going to lay it right out of the text. Looking at it. And the Lord told me, you just stick with the word. Don't look at phenomena. You stick with the word. And I want to teach you all, stick with the word. Don't go after phenomena. Raise your kid around the word. Raise your family around the word. It's the only thing that's going to stand. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will stand. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. Y'all crying, their heads sunk down, man. It wouldn't matter who's in the White House. You better look beyond the hills from which comes your help. Your help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And he will not suffer that foot to be moved. The one that keeps Israel will keep you as well. Stop looking to the arm of flesh. You can have flesh there all day. It will hurt your heart. You got to look beyond it, beyond hills, to the Lord himself. Can the church say amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm looking at, if you can see, there's some construction work that's going on in the church right now. We had brought a contractor in there because we had a faulty chimney. A faulty chimney. Now, when you go into fellowship hall, you'll see nice brick. You'll see beautiful. It's sturdy. It will be hard to pull that out. That's real. And you got block on the outside, on the west side of the building. You have block going up 10, 12 feet. But beyond that, it was just a facade. Somebody decoratively just put some things up there with some stucco, but it wasn't block. Honestly, we couldn't really do a fire. You got wood up there, and somebody wanted to make a decorative appeal or a decorative side, west side of the building, but it's not sturdy. And over the years, the sun beat on it, that stucco, until it cracked. And because it's not fortified, it created a hole. So when the hurricane came, we noticed that water was coming through. Now, we've seen stains in the roof, but nothing dramatic. We've even had the top of the chimney capped off, and we check it out every year. That's a part of facilities management. While you're looking at church or who's founding, somebody's taking care of the building. And that's why a lot of times I'm listening to things that people get caught up with. I just took a $20 bill out and balled it up, and everybody say, I'll take it. Yet our attitude and the way we see ministry in life or any type of covenant relationship is so fragile that we'll give it up with a ball, with a crushing. You can still smooth it out, but we just give up on it so easily versus holding on to it because we know the 20 hadn't lost its value. So we recognized the crack. We brought the contractor in. When Nick went into it from the inside out, he could see the yard from the inside out. That's how large the crack was. But you wouldn't see it from the ground. It takes a storm to show you where you're compromised. It takes wind blowing sideways. If the wind, the rain was just coming down, nobody would see it. But because it's blowing sideways, it's coming through Central Florida. It didn't mess us up, but it just, wind blew sideways. And we begin to see that there's a major crack. Guess what? It didn't just come through the crack. The stain in the wall or the stain in the roof is several feet away from the crack. The water came in and it rolled down the slope and it settled in an area almost where we have our equipment and it started dripping. And if you just tried to fix that, you still would be wrong. You got to find the source. Where is it leaking? Well, it's leaking with the stone, and some of us don't understand that our stones have been cracked. The thing that we called dear at one time is no longer able to sustain us. So we got to go in and tear it out, and they tore it out. They tore it out. The men that was up there, they tore it out, and they cast it to the ground, and now they're going to rebuild it. But they just can't rebuild it. They got to go and get new wood because some of the wood inside has been sodden by moisture so much that it has mold on it. And it's like pressure board. If you touch it, it crumbles in your hand. So that which looked like it's sturdy, if you just bend up next to it, it'll crumble. Like some of us, when it comes to covenant or relationships, we are so fragile, my God. One little thing, a bump up next to us, shows the world that we really don't have the sturdiness that we need. And we bend and bow and buckle under pressure. But thank God for a contractor, a Nehemiah's anointing, that can see the issue and can see the problem and get some type of permission or a permit from the headquarters to make sure that they can do some work. Come on, Nehemiah. And many of us may not be doing it, but you can get permission from the ones who have authority to get the work done. And God is raising up contractors and Nehemiah's to help us get the work done. I don't believe Truth Revealed has lost its value because there's a crack, because we can fix it. And I don't believe you have lost your value because there's a crack if you decide to fix it. The scripture says in Mark chapter 3, he comes into the synagogue. Usually they did that on the Sabbath day. If Jesus came to church, why wouldn't you? Who told you you don't need to go to church? Because God knows your heart. If you follow Jesus' tracking, if you follow what he did, and we should be following Jesus, not what everybody else says or what modern technology says or what modern people say or what young people are saying, you better follow Jesus. And that's why it's important to get the word in you. The Bible says he entered into. He didn't hang out in the foyer. He didn't hang out on the outside. He wasn't smoking a cigarette before he came into the church. He wasn't sitting in the car smoking a blunt. The scripture says he entered again, 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 say it again. Again and again and again I say rejoice. And again, I'm tired, Bishop. Tired of what? If you go to work every day, you could come to church once a week. What's wrong with you? There are people during football season that get season tickets and will drive to Miami or go all the way to New York just for a game. That's what's happening with men around the world. I know a man that lives in Orlando would fly to Charlotte and then fly into Atlanta just to have a good weekend and come home and spend the money. Got that kind of flow where you can do that. Young man, oh my God, plane, we out of here. We going to Charlotte, we're going to have a good time. And then we're flying into Orlando, coming home. I'm into Atlanta doing all of this stuff, right? But when I say give God a little time, we ain't got no time. And we baby that as long as they butter us up with a little money. Oh, do whatever you do, child, just hang in there. No, you got to do what's right. You better enter into the sanctuary. You were born here. You were dedicated to God. You are bought with a price. You can't run away from the Lord. He's married to the backslider. And I'm going to preach if y'all don't say amen or not. Some of our kids don't want to get into the house of God, but you got to tell them it was God that brought you out. It was God that saved you. You didn't save yourself. You don't remember when you were 13. You didn't even know where you were. And I brought you to the house of the Lord. And God saved you. You must give him some time. And here's $5 and put it in the offering. Come on, that's what the mothers used to do years ago. My mama said, here's a quarter, put it in the offering. Did you spend that money on some bubble gum? No, ma'am. I put it in the offering. Good. That's how that works. You got to train them up in the way that it should go. They'll be 21. You'll wonder why they don't buy you a gift. Did you show them how to give? You just gave to them. But did you tell them you got to respond? You can't always take. And talking about you were never there for me. You won't know what I do until you give. Glory to God. You got to give something back. That's what we do. And he entered into the sanctuary again. And again, I say rejoice. And there was a man there with a withered hand. A withered hand. That means one hand was smaller and contracted. It was withered. One hand looked like he was 90 when he was only 25. But the withered hand looked like he was 90 there. And the other hand looked whole. And you got in the midst of the sanctuary. They can see the withered hand, but they can see Jesus. And some people got their eyes on maladies and issues and don't see God. In other words, when they come to church, they're looking at what people did or didn't do or what they did to them versus looking at Jesus. And then others are looking at Jesus, but they're trying to find a flaw. Or they're tracking or Googling me instead of listening to me to see if I make a mistake. But you got to have a real pastor and a real congregation. I don't know anybody here that had a perfect mother. My mom used to wear a girdle and bras on a Sunday morning. My mama stretched it out. She was a real mama. Hair done on Saturday. Donna's hair done on Saturday. Because we getting ready to go to church Sunday. Ain't no you do whatever you want to do. No, no, no. You going to Miss Taylor. I'll determine how you look. You don't have jurisdiction over that until you grow. See, we give too much jurisdiction away when they're young. Yo, baby, whatever you feel. No, it ain't what you feel. I'm going to show you how you feel. Y'all say control. No, it ain't control, it's order. Order in the courts. Everywhere else we got order except in black families. You don't see order in black families until a lot of people go to court.
got a problem with preachers that go to an attorney and you don't even know him young and sit right there until he tell you to be quiet. We don't know order. And we got to learn order. And mothers teach order. Yeah, my mama had bra and panty and girdles and walk around on a Sunday morning. But she got ready for church on Saturday and made sure my sisters had their hair done. That's how she moved. So I'm looking and I'm watching. I'm watching. Okay, how did I grow up? I want your hair done. Don't come to me just throwing it all together. And if you work for Truth Reveal, you got to have it done. And if you don't have your money, I'll help you to go to the dresser. But you can't come there tell me I just got it. It's just, I just don't like it. Not, I'm raised different. Listen, your glory. See, the man's glory is the woman. But the woman's glory is her hair. And if you don't teach that, I'm teaching right out of the Bible. What are you teaching your girl? Do whatever you want. When a woman loses glory, the society melts. That's why I got to establish it. Because the society is melting. The woman has no glory. She thinks BBLs is glory. And if you go out on social media, that's what you're going to see. But hair ain't done. Or it's so thick, it don't look real. And you got to balance it out. And mothers determine that. And I know I'm stepping on toes, but I'm coming at you. I know it. I know it. Because we're going back to church. We're going back to church. We've been out of church too long. We've been in Babylon too long. We've been led captive too long. We've been walking in chains too long. And we got used to the Babylonian lifestyle. And we don't see Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that say, I won't defile myself with the king's meat. And I'm going to do what I've been trained to do no matter where I am around the world. So we got to come back to church. I'm about to do what I call a muck Sunday. And that is, you're going to have boots. You can bring in your rubber boots. And there's a rubber boot called muck. Right. A muck Sunday. You say, well, what is that? Well, I brought you out of the muck and the miry clay. Set your foot on the rock and establish your going. So I'm going to have muck boots so those of us that are in the miry clay can come out. So before you get all funny with me, you're going to see things happen after me. You're going to see ones coming after me that's going to speak to the society. Remember, I told you it's necessary. Because while we're sitting here in the church, people's hearts are beating after Babylon. And we got to pull people back to Jesus. And you got to bring them to where they are. You got to preach where you are. You're stuck in the mud. And they got what they call muck boots for mud. And I'm going to bring my muck boots out here so you can see it. And you can bring yours if you want as well so we can all have muck boots or rubber boots so we can all come out prophetically out of the muck and the miry clay. That's right. I'm going to play something like from Dr. Dre. Muck, 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 muck. Oh, you shot. Right, yeah. You see all of the world gonna come while y'all still they're religious, but I'm trying to show you people gonna get saved. Y'all still here? The man is in the house of God, but he's got a withered hand, and you should feel comfortable with your weakness when you come to the house of the Lord. Bring it to Jesus. Can the church say amen? I don't care what's withered. You can bring it to Jesus. I don't care what's withered, you can bring it to Jesus. The Bible says you got a religious rite in the church that says something like you shouldn't heal somebody on the Sabbath day. So Jesus, the Bible said, he said to the man which with the withered hand, look what he says first, stand forth or stand up. Before he deals with any problem that you have, can you just stand up? Some of us are sitting in the weakness, but God wants you to stand in the weakness. Some of us are laying in the weakness, and God says, stand forth. Some of us are cowering in the weakness or the withered side, but God says, stand up. Then he begins to speak to the man, not even dealing with him. He's talking to the congregation. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day? The rhetorical answer is yes. Or to do evil. So if you had before you evil or good, which one are you going to choose on the Sabbath day? Come on, talk to me. So everybody in the room would say, if evil or good is set before me on the Sabbath day, even though it's Sabbath and it's holy, should we do evil or should we do good? We're all going to say we should do good. He goes further. Should we save life or kill? It's rhetorical. Which one would you choose? We're going to save life. So if you can save a woman that's walking across the street and a truck is coming and you can snatch her out of the way, would you save her or push her in before the push her in front of the truck to kill her? You're going, even if she was an enemy, you're going to snatch her out of way, harm's way. Can the church say amen? Amen. This is what God is saying to you. I'm not giving you a complicated choice. It's either good or evil. It's either salvation or devastation or damnation. Which one are you going to do? We're going to move towards salvation.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Conflict, Commissioning, and Covenant, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
Attention high school seniors, apply now for the Tuskegee Airmen Scholarship and take your first step towards higher education. Tuskegee Airmen Incorporated inspires a passion for aviation through STEM and STEAM programs. Don't miss out. Applications are due by Monday, January 27th, and are available at the communication and promotion counter. For questions, contact Elder Toby Hubbard at 321-305-9831. Seize this opportunity for your future.
Are you a single mom feeling overwhelmed and in need of a break? Join Coalition for Better Families on Saturday, December 7th at 10:30 a.m. for a rejuvenating day designed to pamper, inspire, and empower single moms. Limited spots are available, so scan the QR code in the lobby or register online or in the TR app. Oh, and childcare is provided. Register now.
Calling all men. Mark your calendar for Legatist 2025 Men's Advance Reloaded on Friday and Saturday, January 10th and 11th. Take advantage of the combo package and order your t-shirt and polo. You do not want to miss this experience, so save the dates and schedule a reminder, and we will see you at Truth Revealed.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.